activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
We continue our look at the Senate Bill 936. The senators and the representatives on the Joint Implementation Committee for Measure 91 took a moment to ask some questions of Representative Buckley and Senator Burdick on their bills that they have proposed that would limit growers to just two patients within city limits.
Thank you. Senator Fairley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I want to talk about an open secret, sort of a an elephant in the room, although it could be a donkey. It doesn't have to be an elephant. If I believe or if I operate on the assumption that 75% of the product entering the illicit market is diverted from the medical market, and it, you know, that hasn't been proven, it's just something that we've heard during our hearings, that there was a pretty powerful economic incentive to maintain the medical program. And if growers who are currently wanting to convert from the medical grows to the recreational grows are doing so because they believe this is an opportunity to enter a legitimate business that will grow and be sustainable in Oregon, it seems to me that there's a powerful economic incentive to migrate people from the medical side to the recreational side. So are we considering any provisions to assure that there will be medical supplies available to folks if their growers do make that transition into recreational? You know, are we thinking about an obligation that gets placed on the growers or the medical facilities or even on the recreational side that makes a sufficient, safe, reliable supply of medical product available to all those that have cards?
Madam Chair, Senator Farrelly, this is something that I've devoted a lot of thought to. After talking to a lot of medical growers, I'm convinced that enough of them will decide to go into this medical-only system to supply the system. If they don't, this is a licensed activity. And a license condition can be anything you want it to be. And I think if we all agree that a priority is making sure that there is enough supply for medical patients, then we can make that happen. This is going to be an ongoing conversation. And these licenses that are going to be issued by OLCC are going to be tremendously valuable, and they can have conditions put on them if that's necessary. I don't think it will be from the people I've talked to. I think there are enough people out there, enough growers out there who want to stay doing exactly what they're doing, serving their patients. But if that doesn't prove to be the case, we have options, and I would intend to exercise them.
Madam Chair, just a little follow-up, if I could. I've had really interesting and I think fruitful conversations with growers and with the folks that are engaged in the dispensaries, and I think what would be beneficial is to simply invite them to try to create a structure that, a voluntary structure that they would implement to make sure that folks who show up at dispensaries have access to the quality and kind and quantity of products that they need as long as those folks have a valid card. So, you know, we've heard a lot of information about the altruism of folks that are currently engaged, and I think some of those stories are quite heartwarming, but I think the powerful economic incentives that are going to be in the recreational market caused us to ask the question, how will we maintain access for the marijuana that's needed by medical users? And isn't it proper for us to invite the growers, to invite the dispensaries, and to invite the processors to participate in some voluntary program, mm-hmm. and see whether or not that might meet the needs? Thank you, Madam.
Madam Chair, Senator Farrelly, I think there's a great line of thought. What we try to do with House Bill 3400, we worked with growers, we worked with dispensary owners. We had Mark Mayer was generous enough with his time. He met with anybody and everybody who we asked him to sit and talk with in trying to design this. And the idea we were going behind was, can there be an incentive? Can there be an incentive for someone to stick with the medical marijuana program? And part of the incentive that we're proposing is that they could grow 48 plants for the medical marijuana program, but they could also grow, they could get for plants over 48 to whatever, they could grow for the recreational side too. So there'd be basically on the same property, they could grow for the recreation side, they could grow for the medical side. The incentive on the medical marijuana grower, if they wanted to just stick with the medical marijuana program, would be the lighter reporting methods that they'd have to go through in order to simply just grow for patients and dispensaries. That would be the incentive for them. They'd still have to be protected under the law, under this kind of smaller cap of plants, but they would have a lighter reporting system, and they could basically continue their way of life if that way of life is what was attractive to them to being in the program.
So now that the senator and the representative have spoken about their bills, we hear from some supporters of those bills. Jeff Sugarman from the Oregon Cannabis Pack begins, followed by Rob Bovet from the counties and Scott Winkles from the cities, respectively the lobbyists for those organizations.
Co-Chair Leininger, Co-Chair Burdick, members of the committee, my name is Jeff Sugarman. I represent the Oregon Cannabis Pack. In 1998, I had a great honor to be able to run the campaign for the effort to pass medical marijuana in Oregon. Some of the people sitting here today, both on the dais and in the audience, were part of that historic effort. And I wanted to just spend a minute or two recounting some of the history of this law. I think it will be helpful in determining how we go and what direction we go. In 1999, we spent, 15 or 20 of us spent 3 or 4 days a week, several hours at a time, working in the legislature to do the implementation work necessary to get to pass the medical marijuana law and get it implemented into law. In 2005, that original law allowed for 3 plants and 3 ounces of usable marijuana. It really was designed as a defense from prosecution rather than any kind of commercial statute or some kind of business entity. In 2005, the legislature passed a bill that did several things. It changed the affirmative defense language. It created a new grower's card. It increased plant limits from 3 plants to 6 plants and allowed for 18 immature plants. It allowed for possession of up to 24 ounces per patient from the original level of 3, and it allowed growers to serve up to 4 patients. Almost immediately, an entire industry built up around that program now. Clinics serving thousands of patients a year, growers and processors working to fill the needs of patients, and we saw the emergence of dispensaries, and in some cases, we saw people using this program as cover to feed the black market in other states. In 2013, when we regulated dispensaries, we took a step of bringing those under control. In 2014, 2 other historic events occurred, the Cole memo and the passage of Measure 91. We understand that this legislature has a really difficult job ahead of it, trying to bring all of these different components together in a way that ensures all patients have access to the medicine they need, and that the adult use market is well regulated and controlled and responds affirmatively to the points outlined in the Cole memo. And we stand ready to help you in any way we can, and we thank you for your time.
Madam Co-Chairs and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Rob Ovett, legal counsel for the Association of Oregon Counties. I have submitted written testimony, so I'm going to attempt to summarize a couple of key points in 60 seconds or less if I can. I know. First, to emphasize a couple of things you've heard before, I would say ditto to what you heard from ACLU. I'm happy to work with them on, I share the same concerns with those two sections in 936. Second, I'm kind of partial to 936. However, in 3400, there are a couple of things you probably ought to import. The patient's bill of rights, the seed provisions, probably ought to be imported in 936. Substantively, I would focus your attention on Section 14, which is the new database. We are entering a new paradigm. We're legalizing and regulating recreational marijuana. We are bringing medical marijuana and its supply system into the light. You need, I believe, the assistance of local law enforcement. I think we've heard that loud and clear from OLCC, and I think we're going to hear that from OHA at some point. So we need to carefully consider who should have access to this database and what parts of it. I would posit that it is vital and that you send a strong message to your local law enforcement partners that they be provided access to this database to everything except for individually identifiable patient information, which is not what they need. We need that for two reasons. One, to protect those who are operating lawfully with one of the two regulated systems, and two, to easily identify those who are operating outside the system. Second, just a couple of quick notes about planning issues, just very briefly. In Section 16 of the Act, we have a two-tiered system. Those are in residential urban areas, and those are outside. It's defining those as residentially zoned properties in cities. Counties have those kinds of residential properties, plus we have rural residential properties. We need to include rural residential in the higher limits and intense residential limits in the lower limits. And then finally, in Section 17 of the bill, basically we've redefined the dispensary statute to say that you can't locate dispensaries in residential zones in cities. We need to say the same thing with regard to counties. And I have conveniently crafted amendments to do just that, and they're posted on OLIS. Thank you very much.
All right.
Madam Co-Chairs, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Scott Winkles, and I represent the League of Oregon Cities. We are appearing in support of Senate Bill 936. We believe 936 brings Oregon quite a bit closer to the robust regulatory structure that the federal government would like to see in terms of marijuana distribution sales. We do, however, have some concerns with aspects of House Bill 34-400, specifically the preemptions on the local taxation piece contained within that measure. As we have indicated previously, we believe that local law enforcement are going to be integral partners to a healthy marijuana distribution system, and the current revenue distribution formula, cities are projected to receive $2 million a year in the subsequent bienniums to split among all 242. We believe this is going to be quite a bit shy of what's going to be required for that, again, that robust regulatory structure that we are going to have to be successful. With that, I will use the time that Rob said he wasn't going to.
So we're continuing that discussion. That's SB 936. This bill would restrict medical marijuana growers in the city to just 12 plants. That's two patients. And in the counties or in the rural areas, 24 plants. That's four patients. There are a lot of patients this would affect. Coming up next, we'll hear the testimony from the people who are against this bill, including myself, in the Radical Rant. Stay tuned.
Tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.